I think you might notice a little bit of a different voice right now leading you off. That is because I, Yehuda, the original guest star.
You're not a guest. You're one of us. We have to be switching our whole name because of you.
Don't give away our secrets.
You knew, like, the Ravens need one touchdown. Like, the Broncos might score one more field. So if you get one more touchdown,
you win 10-9.
You can win 10-9.
I'm going to go with the Commanders as well, just because it's too much of a question mark over there on the center for the
I can't even believe you saw that right now. I don't believe
that's asinine. You're crazy.
He's got the full package.
No way. I don't care. No way. I can't even. It's hard to even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
Okay, so Meisty, what are you eating over there? I mean, it looks pretty delicious.
Mom's spaghetti.
Mom's
the
spaghetti.
Lions, they're nervous.
Nothing like mom's spaghetti. Lions, nervous. What about the Chiefs? Chiefs nervous? Wait, we got a lot to get to here, Meisty. I mean, we have the championship games, and the team that we root for happens to be in it this year, which is just, listen, we've been doing this podcast for about 5 years now, Meisty. I believe we started in 2019. And the Ravens have not gotten this far since we started doing the podcast. We've never been able to cover a Ravens AFC Championship game. But no one ever in the history of mankind has been able to cover Ravens hosting an AFC Championship game. Yeah. So we get to be of the first ever to go ahead and do that. How are we feeling on this championship weekend, Meisty?
I mean, this is the biggest sporting event in Baltimore history, possibly. I mean, like, we never hosted. And we've hosted World Series. That's, you know, we've had the World Series here back then. But I don't think this is the biggest game we will ever host in our, for sure, in our football history. So this is, I mean, this the town, you can feel it. You can feel the buzz. There's a buzz in the town. They're very excited. The city's ready to roll. And, you know, there's no real chanting of "We want Mahomes." Anyone who chanted "We want Mahomes" is very silly. You know, Mahomes is. We've seen this before. We're gonna see it again. There's a reason why he's now in six straight AFC Championship games. So, but the town is excited, and this. It's exciting. It's exciting. I wish I could get to the game. We'll see. It's very expensive, but yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, they've already announced that Ray Lewis and Ed Reed are getting honored at halftime, right?
Yeah.
And Jonathan Ogden's going to be involved, and there's going to be a lot of Raven stars involved in this game, because like you said, it really is the biggest sporting event in Baltimore. 1971, I think they said, was the last time the Baltimore Colts played in hosted a championship game, an AFC championship game, obviously, at that time. But this is the first time the Ravens have done it. And it's crazy, Meisty, because the Ravens have hosted... And by the way, we're going to get to Lions, Niners as well, and the Chiefs and all the matchups, but, you know, got to reminisce a little bit here. The Ravens have been to four AFC Championship games previously, which is a lot for a team that came into the league in 1996. And we remember three of them very well, right? We remember 2008 against the Steelers, Polamalu, the pick six. The Ravens were down 16-14, 4 minutes left against the Steelers. Joe Flacco's rookie year had a chance to drive down the field there, kick the game-winning field goal, and go to the Super Bowl. And Polamalu had the big pick six. Then it was a few years later, the most infamous game in Ravens history. And in my opinion, there was no question, still the worst, the lowest moment in Ravens history was the Lee Evans and Billy Cundiff, you know, duo. Those miscues at the end of that game followed up the next year when the Ravens won the Super Bowl. And also, so we remember those three very well. And this is the fourth one, but it feels like it's been a long time, I see. It really feels like it's been a long time. We had a stretch when Joe Flacco came to the league. We had a stretch. Three of Flacco's first 5 years, the Ravens were in the AFC Championship game. Like, we were used to it almost. Like, we were looking at it after the first 5 years, and we're like, AFC Championship game, big deal. That's like, that's not so far. Winning Super Bowls, that's what we need. But now it's like, we're in the AFC Championship game. There's only four teams left, and we're one of them. It's just, even though it was only 10 years ago, it feels like a long time. And it feels like, because it's true, the Ravens haven't made it this far in such a long time, and it's just so exciting, especially the fact they get to host it. They're hot. You know, they got a hot quarterback. They got a hot team. They got a great defense. It's like, it's just, it's a great feel. I'm sure I've been talking to the, you know, the crew in Baltimore there, and I certainly could feel the excitement in the air. Could feel the excitement in everyone's voice. My father happens to be going to the game, and he said he's going to be sitting right by the Chiefs sideline, so they'll be getting into Andy Reid's head the whole game. So I told him, make sure to get into their head.
I hope to see you on the. Hope they show him on the screen.
Yeah.
The other thing, by the way, with the Ravens in 2011, when that all fell apart, there was almost a. It was a slight buzz. Like, do we turn over the team and restart? I know we just lost the championship game, but people were really low. Like you said, it was a really low, almost where the Bills are holding right now, you know?
Yes, a good comparison, yeah.
You know, it's a low moment. Do you ride with the guys? And they did, and they really were like, you know, Ray Lewis could have retired right there. That could have been like, hey, guys, I don't have it in me to go another year. I just don't. Like, that was too painful, you know? It could have been Hello, Dinata, and Charles Suggs, Ed Reed. All of those guys could have just been like, we're done. That's it. That was too painful. You know, and they were all looking on the way out. So, you know, to come back the next year and to – it was really – I was in ninth grade. It's crazy that I was that little.
That's where we're in ninth grade, yeah.
But there was this feeling of this is the year. It was almost that feeling of this is a good – this is the year. Also, we're at the 12-year – peak now. So we're going from 2000-2001 season, 2012-2013 season. We're now at the 2023-2024 season. We've hit every 12 years. So this is the city. Let me say this. The city's buzzing. The state, the area, you can feel it. You can feel it. It's cold. It's cold out there, but you can feel the purple in the air.
I heard it's going to be a high of 71 tomorrow, actually. Looking up the weather for the game and came across that little tidbit, high of 71 tomorrow.
What is the weather?
So the weather for the game is going to be, it's going to be a high of 47, a low of 39. It won't be too cold. It will be raining. There's about an 80% chance of rain throughout the day. So we'll definitely discuss how that plays a factor into this matchup. Before we get into the championship games, did you want to hit on Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers just for a minute? You have any thoughts on that? Any comments?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're making a good decision. He just came off a national championship. I think that he should by now have from his NFL experience and now his college experience, he should be able to put something together. Listen, the Chargers are a team that needs the whipping into shape. They need a guy like Jim Harbaugh who can literally whip the players into shape. So this is a very interesting signing. Once again, you still face the Chiefs twice a year. You still have to go up against a tough AFC. You play the Ravens next year. Your Bengals, I think, also they play. So, like, this is this is the right choice at the end of the day. And Jim Harbaugh is going to enjoy the nice weather and you know, the enjoyment of playing Andy Reid. I guess he's going to enjoy it. He's the type of guy to enjoy playing Andy Reid.
He is. No, listen.
He's the type of guy to, like, in an interview, be like, yeah, I signed here because I wanted to see Patrick Mahomes twice a year.
Oh, he loves the competition. He loves the competition. I so agree with you. And, you know, he's just going from Northern California to Southern California because he had immense success with San Francisco, considering that was his first NFL stint. They made the NFC Championship game, and then the next year they made the Super Bowl and were very close to winning it. But, you know, it's good they didn't. But they were very close to winning it. They were very close. They were knocking on the door. And he definitely had a lot of success. Remember, that was at a point in Alex Smith's career where people were saying, like, maybe he should retire. Like, it was really a turning point in his career. And Jim Harbaugh sort of revived Alex Smith's career, that made the NFC Championship game. Then the next year, he did with Colin Kaepernick. It's not like he did these runs with great quarterbacks. It was that Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. They're okay, but he had incredible success with those guys. So I'm going to be very excited.
Alex Smith the answer?
Is that, well, if you have Jim Harbaugh, maybe it is. See, but
because think about it. Think about it. He went to the Chiefs, and he unlocked Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Maybe put Alex Smith in front of Justin Herbert for a minute, and then, you know,
a little Carson Wentz.
A little Carson Wentz. Yeah. Yeah. Carson Wentz. It's a verb now. Carson Wentz. Adjective, rather, I should say. But no, I think the Chargers clearly needed a change because it's never been a lack of talent that was their problem, Meisty. Every year we head into the season saying, and I was actually at a Chargers game this year. I went to the Chargers Ravens game in SoFi, and you could tell, like, the few Chargers fans that there are, because it's really not a strong fan base, it's like they're so frustrated because it's like there's a reason, number one, why there's not such a big fan base, because it's like talent does nothing for us. Like, we need you to like put together a string of wins here, make the playoffs, win a playoff game. Like, they made the playoffs once with Herbert so far. People say they're wasting his career. And it's, again, you have tons of talent on defense. You had, now granted, he didn't have Mike Williams this year, but in general, you've had Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler, one of the best receiving backs in the league. And you haven't been able to do diddly squat with that. Like, yes, they made the playoffs one year, but other than that, nothing. So, like, what, you know, you clearly need a change. Is Jim Harbaugh the answer? Only time will tell. But all I know is that this man has had success in the past in the NFL with quarterbacks that were not nearly as talented as Justin Herbert. So,
correct. So another thing real quick to add to that, again, fans, I know you say there's not a lot of fans. Listen, there's a reason why Jacksonville plays in London every year, right? Jacksonville plays in London every year because they were so bad and no one was showing up to their games. And in London, people were showing up to their games.
All right.
Now that they're good, every single one of their games are sold out. The Panthers, when they were with Cam Newton and had an exciting team, they were one of the wildest fans. The stadium was packed. Today, their stadium is empty. It's the same thing. The Chargers just need to be winning. They're a losing team. They don't have a winning franchise. Right? They don't have anything that rides. They're not the Bills that are just a maniac franchise of a fan base. No, they're a losing franchise who moved to LA. Like, they're not in a good situation. But if they can, like you said, if they can bring in that winning mentality, all of a sudden these Chargers fans that live in LA are gonna pop out of the woods.
Well, here's the thing. The Rams, in I believe the Rams' first year in LA or second year in LA, I think it was the first year in SoFi, they won the Super Bowl. And it helped the Rams fan base to some extent. Like, there are more Rams fans here than Chargers fans, there's no question. But still, it's not a football town here, Mikey. I think Magic Johnson, and then Shaq, and then Kobe sort of set the tone for this city as being a basketball town. And the Rams winning the Super Bowl didn't really do much to put a dent in that. It really didn't. And I don't know if that'll ever be changed. Like, we've been trying to put a flag football game together on for a while now, and it's just very difficult. People don't like watching football here. People don't like playing football here. And, you know, we grew up in Baltimore. Football was the sport of the town, you know? That's what we love. On Sunday, we watched the Ravens. We love the Ravens. Sunday morning, tons of people had football leagues. We all played in high school, in high school, right? We love football. We'd go on our back. When we were bored, when we were younger, what did we do? We'd toss the pigskin around in the backyard. That's what we did. Nobody does that here. It's like, yeah, basketball hoops. There's a lot of parks with basketball. It's a different culture here in LA. It's just not a, I think big cities in general, but specifically here in LA, football is not a big thing here. I don't know why. It's very weird for me because, like,
bunch of lame.
Yeah, lame. I don't know if it's a big city thing or anything like that, but okay, so we'll see what happens over there with Jim Harbaugh in LA. He's coming over to LA, baby. Okay, so I guess that will take us to the championship round, and we get to talk
about. Yes, sir.
Ooh. I got to say something, Aaron. I mean, the truth is that if you would have told NFL fans, you know, before the season, like, AFC championship game will be Lamar versus Mahomes, they would have been like, number one, it makes sense, right? I probably wouldn't have said that because I did not expect the Ravens to get this far. But most people would say, okay, yeah, Lamar, Mahomes versus...
Yeah, but it was possible.
It was possible. It's like, and Mahomes beats Allen, plays Lamar. Sort of makes sense, right? Okay. So, and number two, heck yeah, let's see it, right? Because we've never seen it yet. I mean, Lamar and Mahomes, for as long as they've been in the league, Mahomes 7, Lamar 6 years, they've not only never played in the playoffs, and this will be Lamar's 6th playoff game and Mahomes like 27th playoff game.
Time out. I want to interrupt you right there. Okay. We don't count Mahomes' first year. He's been playing for 6 years. Continue.
Okay, all right. 6 years, right. So both for 6 years. Right, correct. Lamar really 5.5, but they made the playoffs the first year that he was there. So anyway, point being that not only have they never, you know, 6 games for Lamar, you know, what Mahomes probably played 33 playoff games by now already, whatever it is, right? A lot. And they've never played together in the playoffs. Not only that, they haven't played head to head since the beginning of the 2021 season. It was week three. It was week two or week three? It was week two. It was week two of the 2021 season, which was a great game. It was only time Lamar ever beat Mahomes head-to-head. And we really haven't seen these guys play each other in a while and never in the playoffs. And here it is at the highest possible level that they could be playing each other with a berth to the Super Bowl on the line. It doesn't get better than this, Meisty. If you're an NFL fan, this is what you want. Mahomes plays Allen, then Mahomes plays Lamar. These are the three best quarterbacks in the AFC outside of Burrow. If Burrow's not here, then those are the guys you want, right? No Burrow. Okay, right. So we had the last 2 years of Burrow versus Mahomes. Those were fun games, awesome games. Both came down to the wire. One Burrow, one Mahomes won, right? We've had Allen and Mahomes in the past. Though always amazing games. We love to watch those, right? As was this year. It was a fantastic game. This one we've never seen. Could you ask for anything better if you're an NFL fan?
No, this is the perfect matchup. Listen, the only thing different could have been maybe you would have had, if Joe Burrow was healthy, you could have had the Bengals versus the Ravens and the Bills versus the Chiefs and the winners play. I mean, that could have been the only thing, maybe the only thing better than, and C.J. Stroud was great. And C.J. Stroud was great. I mean, he was a great sport against the Ravens. A+ forever.
Well, Burrow not being in there sort of gave an extra spot to whoever it was. And C.J. Stroud took that spot, you know? Okay. Like, everything else makes sense.
Well, he won out. C.J. Stroud won his division fair and square.
No, he did.
So it really was the Steelers or the Browns and the Steelers and the Bill or the Dolphins. So.
Right, the Dolphins sort of, you know, had a lot of injuries and sort of collapsed a little bit at the end there. So that was the other problem. So the Dolphins, we thought, could have made a deep run. But anyway, so it's the narrative is there. There's no question about it. The headlines are there. I have not been watching any ESPN, CBS Sports, Fox Sports, anything this week. Nothing. I'm not watching any of that stuff because I know there's going to be tons of narratives and I don't want to hear this shouting. All I hear is all shouting. We come here to give you common sense, not to shout in here and say, this guy stinks and this guy did. No. That's why you come to Dummies for Sports, to get the matchups, to get the real stuff, not just the, you know, what you want to hear. We tell you what's true. We tell you the truth. We pursue truth.
Amen.
Yeah. So anyway, in the light of pursuing truth, let's talk about some matchups here. So I want to first go talk about the Chiefs offense against the Ravens defense. The Ravens defense has been the best in the league this year. Not only the best in the league this year, Meisty. I would go as far as to say their pass coverage has been of the best over the last 5 or 6 years. That's how good the secondary has been. Now, you know, you look at in the Dolphins game. Everything was on the line there, right? There was literally a wild card victory on the line in week 17 against the Dolphins. First round bye. It's huge in today's NFL when there's only one bye. And what happened in that game? Right before the game, we find out Kyle Hamilton's not playing. Kyle Hamilton has been an up-and-coming star in this league, and we'll get to him later. Brandon Stevens, the Ravens' lockdown corner this year, especially with Marlon Humphrey missing half the season, he's out too. You're like, oh, here we go. We got to go up against Tyreek Hill, who was rated PFF's best player of the year, best overall player, because he really was that good this year. He was unguardable. For the number one seed, oh, it's going to be a long day. Not only after the first two drives, nothing from the Dolphins passing game. Nothing. I mean, it was impressive. The Ravens' depth at cornerback is remarkable. We forget Marcus Williams is on this team sometimes. Marcus Williams was one of the best safeties in football before the Ravens signed him. Now he's had his injuries and he's had his struggles. But okay, Geno Stone, you know, is like second in the league in interceptions this year. Marcus Williams, the veteran, is still there. Arthur Millette has been such a good replacement. Ronald Darby's been a solid fill-in. Last week, you didn't even notice Marlon Humphrey wasn't on the field because Ronald Darby did such a good job. This team has incredible depth, and it's going to be the biggest challenge that the Chiefs have faced the entire season.
Sure. I mean, this Ravens defense from top to bottom, I don't think there's really any holes that we can say. I mean, obviously the rush, but like we talked about before the podcast, they just give up one or two, maybe a third big run, and it's like, oh, just stop the run one time. But stop, they do. They stop the run normally. Other than that, yeah, this is the challenge. Mahomes, this is if Mahomes wins here, I mean, you're talking about, you're like, bro, no one can stop him. No one can stop him. Every couple of years, like the Ravens did to Brady, you know, in 2012, like, yeah, so maybe this is the year that the Ravens sneak past the guy. But this, Mahomes is him. He's constantly going to be in this game. Doesn't matter who his receivers are, whether he has Tyreek Hill, whether he doesn't have Tyreek Hill, whether he has Travis Kelce, whether it's Travis Kelce's done. The Chiefs will turn over this team two or three times, you know, throughout Mahomes' career, and he will still be in a. I was listening to a podcast, and he's like, there is a kid in elementary school, some 13-year-old kid, that in 2031 is going to be going to with Mahomes to the AFC Championship game. Like, right? Like, that's where Mahomes is. So, and not every year is he going to win, but almost every year he's going to be the guy coming out of the AFC. So, So it doesn't look like this is the best match. I'm so excited for this football game. But so I'll say like this also one thing. So for me, when the Ravens recovered from the mishap, I guess we can call it, of the safety and the whole thing with Lamar against the 49ers, right? When they recovered and they bounced back from just that whole shenanigans, destroyed the 49ers, went to Dolphins with all those injuries, destroyed them. It was like at that moment, I'm just like, yo, this team, if they don't win the Super Bowl, failure.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the expectations right now. Those are the expectations right now, 100%. I want to, so, you know, people have been saying the Chiefs offense is back over these last couple of weeks against the Dolphins and the Bills. So I want to address this for a second because it's important. It's especially important going into a game like this. Now, the Chiefs did play against the Dolphins and the Bills, the two next best teams in the AFC behind the Ravens and the Chiefs. We'll definitely agree on that. However, the problem with that is that the Dolphins literally were missing all their pass rushers and the Bills literally had no linebackers. Okay, and to prove they had no linebackers, I mean, you already know Matt Milano was injured and two other starters were injured, but AJ Klein was covering Travis Kelce one-on-one last week. AJ Klein has been in the league for over 10 years. He's had nearly, his PFF grade's been in the 40s almost every year. This guy's a backup, career backup. He's going one-on-one with Travis Kelce. And everyone's like, well, Travis Kelce had his biggest game of the season last week. Well, he better should have. He went up against AJ Klein. He's AJ Klein's a scrub. They literally had to pick up guys off the street for this game. So I'm not saying that Mahomes can't do special things and that he doesn't take it up a notch in the playoffs. Clearly he does for whatever reason. I can't explain it. It clearly does happen. But all I'm saying is that let's slow down on the Chiefs' offense's back. They still have limited pass catchers, right? MVS can take the top off the defense once or twice a game, but that's pretty much all he's good for, right? A lot of that once or twice will get open down the field, and if you hit on those plays, it could be game changers, no question. But you have to, or else you lost MVS for the game, right? That's pretty much it, right? So MVS could take the top off the defense once or twice a game. Rashee Rice has been coming on of late. So I honestly think that, like, you have Kyle Hamilton now going up against Travis Kelce. This is going to be a big test for Kelce, because Kelce has struggled this year, Meisty, in ways that he hasn't in a very long time. It's probably his worst season in about 7 or 8 years. So it's the second to lowest yak he's had of his career, second lowest yards after catch he's had of his career, less than 1,000 yards, first time in 8 years that he's had less than 1,000 receiving yards. And I believe he played every game. Maybe he missed one, maybe he missed the last week because of they bunched all the starters in the last week of the season. Less than 2 yards per route run. So those are not good numbers for Travis Kelce. He's clearly taken a step back this year. People make a big deal about the drops. It's actually right in his wheelhouse, about 6 drops this year. It's not such a big deal. But he lines up in the slot 50% of the time this year, about 50% of the time. That's another thing. It's a lot more than it has been in previous years. Clearly, the Chiefs are trying to, you know, adjust to him getting a little older, slowing down a little, or putting up in the slot more. Kyle Hamilton generally takes the guy in the slot. That means we're going to see Meisty, Kyle Hamilton, and Kelce going at it all day. And that's going to be fun. That is my favorite one-on-one matchup of the day. So I'm very much looking forward to Kyle Hamilton and Travis Kelce. I think that's going to be awesome. So I think if you're looking at Ravens defense versus Chiefs offense, that's the number one matchup to look out for. And I would say other than that, it's just Rashee Rice. Can he actually, you know, do, you know, Marlon Humphrey's probably going to come back this week. Can you actually see him doing damage against guys like Brandon Stevens and Marlon Humphrey? Can Mahomes make enough special plays, which is always in there? Those are going to be the questions that we're going to have to deal with over here in this game. You know what I'm saying, Meisty? So,
right.
So it's going to be there's some real good matchups, across the board.
So once again, I mean, once Mahomes gets out of the pocket, you know, and starts to, you know, when he starts to sideline himself, that's when he's really dangerous. That's when even though Kyle Hamilton might be covering Travis Kelce, that's when Mahomes plays like Mahomes and makes Mahomes type plays. So we'll see. I don't know. This is a very interesting game. There's no reason why the Ravens don't crush, because the Ravens are better. Everywhere outside Mahomes himself, the Ravens are better at every position. You know, in every matchup, in every situation, the Ravens are better. So there's no reason why they don't crush here.
It's an interesting thing with Mahomes, because, like, I don't know if you believe in this or not. A lot of people seem to. But in his last two playoff runs, so last year and this year so far, he's only had one turnover-worthy play. It's like, for some reason, He does not put the ball in harm's way at all when it comes to the playoffs. Like, he will not give you anything for free. Nothing.
How did Lamar do last game? How many?
One turnover worthy play. One. He only had one. He did a good job taking care of the ball. And he also, remember, he ran 11 times for 100 yards. So when you do that, it obviously means instead of throwing the ball into double coverage, I'm just going to run and take the yardage. So that's always a good sign.
But so, see, that's the thing. Like, that's something that Lamar kind of stepped up his game. And Mahomes has been doing that. Where you're and this is the playoffs. You can't just, ooh, I'm going to try to throw it in there and hope it gets through the double team. No. This is where you make smart decisions, run the ball when you have to run the ball. You're a win or go home situation. Like, what are you, if you're not giving it your all and you're not playing at your top, what are you doing? So Mahomes, right. The thing is, though, all it really takes is one interception or two, you know, from Mahomes, and the Ravens feast on that. And that's a point. The Ravens should be able to stop the Chiefs enough times for that offense, who should be able to drive the field with ease. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no reason why, but in the fourth quarter, Mahomes is within 14 points.
Here's the thing about Mahomes. It's like, I know we all say he makes special plays and everything, and like we're saying, he takes care of the ball. But Mahomes' last game against a starting defense against the Raiders, it was the second last game, whatever, the Bengals he played, and then before that he played against the Raiders, might have been Mahomes' worst game of his career. Remember that game on Christmas Day, right? Where we're all like, what is happening to the Chiefs? That was a month ago, right? That was a month ago. That was, we're just fresh off that. Mahomes had 5 turnover-worthy plays in that game. 5. That's horrible. That's not Mahomes. And he never does that. And he hasn't done that this year either. But point being that, if you just take away this playoff run, we were calling out the Chiefs for all their struggles on offense. The receivers are dropping passes. The receivers are letting Mahomes down. Kelsey's lost a step. Rashee Rice has come on as of late, but he's not even half of Tyreek Hill. They don't have that explosive playmaker. We were asking all these questions. And it's really because of the last 2 weeks, against, like I said, very banged up defenses, that's why everyone's like, oh, Mahomes is back. Mahomes never left. But the Chiefs' offense still isn't as good as it was when Tyreek Hill was out there, even last year. It's not as good as it was then, Meisty. The passing game is not as explosive. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying they can't win the Super Bowl with this. They could because they have Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes is always going to play the top of his game. I'm just saying that we forget very quickly how much this Chiefs passing game struggled throughout the season. We forget about that. And nobody's talking about that. Nobody. Just because of these last 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you would
have a recent bias. Welcome to recent bias. I'll tell you like this, and I said it all season. Mahomes could play as bad as he wants all season long. At the end of the day, when it comes down to it, Mahomes is going to win his division. And then, like, whether he's the 1, 2, or 3 seed, he's going to do enough to win a playoff game and do enough to win another one. He'll constantly find himself in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, but it's not Mahomes. I'm concerned about. I'm never concerned about Mahomes, right? I think Mahomes has been playing well all year. Like, I think he's been a top 5 quarterback in the league the entire year, as I think Josh Allen was, and I think just because their teams didn't play as well, they got the blame for it. I think the passing game is not which pass catchers what wide receivers do you have here outside of Rashee Rice? Kadarius Toney? I mean, who are you scared of there, Meisty? Who are you scared of there? Like, you know, I just don't see, I don't see what the big, all of a sudden why people are putting so much, I think Mahomes making special plays can sort of take everything away, but Lamar can do that too. Anyway, one last point over here before he flips sides of the ball. Joe Tooney, who is one of the best guards in football, he's allowed 2 sacks this year in 19 games, and he's only allowed 35 pressures in 19 games. Again, that's counting all 17 regular season games and 2 playoff games. He's one of the best guards in football. Doesn't look like he's going to play. So the Ravens lead the league in sacks. They're top 5 team in pass rush win rate. They have done a great job up front creating pressure. And if they can create, what's the best way to beat Mahomes, Meisty? Get pressure with 4. Get pressure with 4, right? Because you can't blitz him. He's the best at responding to the blitz. If you get pressure with 4 and you stay in your rushing lanes, you can contain him. You really can.
That's what I think the Ravens do also. I think they beat him badly because they put enough sacks and they force turnovers. And
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, just to flip side of the ball for a second. Fine, so you look at the Ravens offense. So obviously, Mark Andrews looks like he's going to come back this week. So that'll be obviously just a fantastic addition. And it doesn't even, listen, they're 7-0 without Mark Andrews. It's the craziest thing. Mark Andrews went down against the Bengals, and we're all here like, oh man, season's over. Mark Andrews, what are you, our best receiver? What are you going to do without him? Not only have they not lost a game since then, Moisty, they haven't lost a step. The offense has been red hot, right? But the passing game, the running game, they literally ran for over 200 yards last week against the third best rush defense in the league. Okay, and when they needed to drop back and throw it, Lamar went 16 for 22, only 6 incompletions, threw the ball very efficiently, did not throw the ball into tight windows. That was a very impressive, and they've been so impressive recently. So if you get Mark Andrews in there, Meisty, the Chiefs have a great defense. They really do. And they can do similar things to what the Ravens do. They take away the middle of the field. So how big Mark Andrews will be as a threat in the middle of the field is yet to remain to be seen. But they have enough of a deep passing game with OBJ sprinkled in there. They have the screen game going really well with Zay Flowers. They have the two guys that can improvise with Lamar and Bateman and Aguilar. So, yes, the Chiefs definitely have a great defense. And it's going to be a challenge for Lamar. He's going to have to make sure to make smart decisions, like you said, because the throwing windows will be tighter this week than they were last week. Let's just get that straight. They will. The throwing windows will be tighter this week than they were last week. He's going to have to be careful, but he has to use his legs. When it's time to use his legs and use his arm when he's got good opportunities to throw into an open window.
Sure. And like you said, I think the Chiefs have injuries. The Ravens have been healthy, and someone said, bottom line is the Super Bowl is played between the two healthiest teams in the league.
Yep, absolutely, it is. It's and when you get to this time in the season, because the Chiefs had that extra game in the wild card game, it makes a huge difference. You know. The Ravens looks like they're going to have all their starters healthy this game. So that's a rarity to have at the AFC Championship game. Okay, so predictions. Let's do predictions. So we got the Chiefs by 3, the Ravens by 3.5. What do you think, Meisty?
Ravens by 12.
What do you say, Ravens by?
Ravens are going to win 27-17.
Okay. I love it. Okay. Ravens 3.5. I'm going to go for the Ravens over 3.5 because I think either, like we said last week, Meisty, either the Ravens hit the over or they lose the game. There's no two ways about it, right? They're not going to win by 3 points. It's just not going to happen.
No, probably not.
All right, man. Should we go to the next game? All right. So we got the Niners and we got the Lions. The Fighting Dan Campbells heading into San Francisco.
Goofies.
Ooh, the Goofies. You think the Lions got a chance here, Meisty?
I do. I think they actually have a real chance here. I think they're one thing they're gonna have to do. First of all, Debo could be out.
That's a big thing.
That's huge.
Yeah.
You talked about it many times. The Lions have been one of the best teams across the board this year, offensively for sure. Besides for four games or whatever it is, 3-4 games. The thing that the Lions really need to do is stop Christian McCaffrey. Make Brock Purdy make throws. Now, if Debo's there, you have a whole different game. But if there's no Debo, then you really just have to focus on Christian McCaffrey and make Brock Purdy beat you with deep balls and just not allow them. Now, it's easier said than done, but that's the game plan I'd go with here. I think the Lions and the offense just has to kind of do their thing and get down up and down the field. Do they have a shot? Yeah, because they're here, and they've played really well this year. The Niners seem to have taken a little bit of a step back, but I think also, you know, that last week's game was a little interesting, and then they were also coming off of the rust. It'd be tough for the Lions to win, but can they? Yes.
Yeah, well, I think last week's game also the rain played a huge factor in last week's game. Like, you know, it's hard to know how much Purdy's regression was a result just simply of bad weather or as like playoff Purdy, quote unquote. You know, because if you look at Purdy's numbers throughout the year, he's still been playing really well. He has the fourth best adjusted completion percentage in the league, top 10 in big time throws, 9.6 yards per attempt. That's the highest mark in the league by far. It's not even close. And he also runs the ball very efficiently. He's a very underrated runner. So Brock Purdy's been playing good football this year. And you might think more into this than I do, but is there something to you haven't been having a good game, but you made the throws when it counted? Last drive of the game, got to have it, divisional round, 2-minute drill. Can you run this and bring your team to victory? Because that's what he did last week.
Listen, there's a part of me that believes that Kyle Shanahan desperately wants to play Sam Darnold. I believe it. He loves Sam Darnold. He does. Brock Purdy keeps making the correct throw. But Brock Purdy is not a leader of the team. Brock Purdy is not even, you know, to the level of Joe Flacco, for example. Now, Brock Purdy is great, and Brock Purdy is good. He's talented. But, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't say he's better than Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, in the hardest place to be for someone who has to be a leader, because there was Ray Lewis and that whole defense, to be the leader of the offense while coinciding with that defense was very impressive. Joe Flacco talked about that. In this situation, Brock Purdy will never be the guy, the leader. There's always Christian McCaffrey or the Deebo Samuel or this receiver, that, or whoever they're going to put there. And then the defense. And it's never really Brock Purdy. It'll never be Brock Purdy's 49ers, you know? It'll never really – now, can he make it that way? Sure, he can win the Super Bowl this year, and then maybe they'll start, you know, having respect on his name. But there's a reason why that people have given him a little disrespect. He was struggling mighty in that game, and he's like a little Mahomie because he did enough to win the game.
Is there something to that though? Doing it when you're not having your best game, you do enough, you make the plays at the end to win the game. Some would say that's very valuable.
I don't know. Here's what happens. If the Chiefs meet the 49ers in the Super Bowl, we'll see who has enough.
We're not comparing him to Patrick Mahomes. People already started to say, it's Joe Montana-esque, right? Because Joe Montana was like that a little bit too.
I mean, is that the Patriot? I mean, the Chiefs and Mahomes all season long have just done enough, right? They're just doing enough constantly, and in the playoffs, they're just doing enough. So it's the same with the 49ers. And Brock Purdy, they're constantly just doing enough. So will it be – and when you meet the Ravens, usually just trying to do enough doesn't work. Right. It doesn't work here.
Unless the Ravens shoot themselves in the foot. Correct.
Correct. So let's hope it continues to not work. And it's not – but if the Chiefs are going to meet the 49ers, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a game very low scoring, 13-10. No one does anything, but Mahomes does enough to win himself another Super Bowl. Woohoo! And Taylor Swift is shown all over the screen. Woohoo!
It's funny, if the Niners win the Super Bowl, we are guaranteed a Super Bowl rematch from the last 10 years. Either 49ers or Chiefs, 49ers or Ravens. Isn't that crazy?
Right. Yeah. Think about
it. I actually think Brock Purdy gets a little more slack than he deserves, personally, because I do think he's been a top five quarterback in the league this year. I think if he didn't have a guy like Lamar Jackson, if Lamar and Purdy didn't go head-to-head Monday night on Christmas night, literally with everyone watching, with like, it's a Super Bowl preview late in the season, right? With all that hype surrounding it, I think we're still considering Purdy for MVP right now. I think because the Ravens beat him head-to-head, Lamar happened to have been on the Ravens and Purdy happened to have been on the Niners and thrown four interceptions that game. That's what gave Lamar the edge. But I think Purdy gets slack for no reason. I think he's a good player. I think that when Debo's not there, the offense is a completely different animal, like you said. If Debo's not there, the Lions got a real shot here. I really believe that. If Debo's not there, I think the Lions cover, at least. +7 for the Lions. I definitely think the Lions cover. On the other hand, I mean, Jared Goff is going to have his hands full today. I mean, against the Niners. He just says they have a very good defense. Like, if you look up and down this roster, it's ridiculous. Traverius Ward, Fred Warner, Javon Hargrave, Eric Armstead, Chase Young. And then you have just one of the best defensive players in football in Nick Bosa, who is just an absolute beast. He's been consistently good from the beginning of season to end. And because you have guys like Myles Garrett and TJ Watt, he doesn't really get the respect he deserves or the recognition he deserves. But that match with him and Penei Sewell, that's going to be very exciting. But so Jared Goff is really going to have his hands full against the Niners defense, Meisty.
Sure will. And he's not really great always on the road, but this is a Jared Goff moment. This is a Jared Goff moment. Jared Goff has been here before. Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl before. People forget that also. So, you know, this is a moment that he's lived up to before. He just has to do better than last time.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to Jared Goff getting in his groove. We've talked about this. When Jared Goff gets into a rhythm, you know, quick passes, guys are getting open, the throwing windows are simple, that's when Jared Goff can really be effective. Because outside of his four worst games, which we discussed more, we don't have to go back into that now. But we discussed that last week. He really had four bad games this year. And outside of those four games, he's been excellent this year. He's really, it's been the best year of his career, if you ask me. And if you look at, listen, Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta, probably the best receiver tight end duo, one of the best receiver tight end duos in the league. If you look at some of the numbers, like they're tops in their positions. Amon-Ra has 10 games this year with plays of 25 yards or more. 10 games this year. Very impressive number. Over 1,500 receiving yards. Laporta's fourth among tight ends in receptions, 86. Over 800 receiving yards. So, like, they all have impressive numbers. That passing game can be good when Jared Goff gets into rhythm. But this is going to be a test, Meisty, like the Chiefs have with the Ravens, that they haven't had all year. So it's going to be fascinating to see how they respond to that. Because, listen, the Lions against mediocre opponent outside of their division, for some reason, it's like the Ravens with the AFC North. It makes no sense. They just, they play a whole different, like, they play echelon lower when they go against the AFC North. The Lions against the NFC North this year just play worse. There's no, you can't really explain it. Like the games against the Bears and the Packers, right? But outside of those games, if they play against average competition, they feast on average competition. This is not average. This is the San Francisco 49ers. And they're going to have to play a really darn good game to win this one. They might have to get a turnover or two. They're going to have to force Brock Purdy into some bad decisions. Maybe get a fumble in there. You know what I'm saying? And get Jared Goff into his rhythm. Try to get the run game going a little bit. It's possible. I see a route for them, but ultimately, I don't think it's going to happen. So my prediction for this game, I'm going to say Niners cover the 7. What do you think?
I'm going to pick the Lions to win this game. Give me Lions.
You got the Lions to win the game? Oh, baby. Okay. So you have a Lions-Ravens Super Bowl.
Amen, brother.
That would be great. That's what I want the best too. No disrespect to the Lions, but the Niners are a little scared.
No, all disrespect. All disrespect.
No, I don't. Listen, if it's not the Ravens, I want it to be the Lions. Because it's a feel-good story, you know?
Yeah, it's a feel-good story. The issue is that, like, the issue with losing to the Lions is that you're forever going to be in every video of, like, the Lions finally win a Super Bowl. And it's like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. Oh, and you're going to be the losing team. I hear that. Right, and if you lose to the Niners, nobody cares.
The video of Kyle Hamilton trying to make, like, the game-winning stop, and he's just falling on his face, and you're like, oh, I have to relive it every time. Right. But, unfortunately for the Lions fans, and I'm sorry, they probably want to lose now, but if they do win this game, it's going to be a long Super Bowl Sunday.
Long media week. It's sort of like the Ravens in 2000 when they went up against the Giants, and like everyone knew, okay, the Giants offense has been playing well this year with Kerry Collins at the helm, but it's not going to be a competition. It's just not. It was the same thing.
I forgot who it was. Someone on the Lions posted saying how people, he was like filling up his car at a gas station, and some like old lady came up to him and was like, gave him a hug and like was like crying and like thanked him for winning. And he's like, thank you for believing, I guess.
That's funny. I love that.
Like, it shows the feel good story of it and the real. You know, I talked about it last time when it happened in the game. It was like an emotional thing, like, wow, it just happened. And then it happened, you know what I'm saying, we're here again. And, you know, the Lions really pulled it together. And it's exciting to watch. And Aiden Hutchinson going from Michigan to his hometown. He's from Michigan. He's from Detroit. You know, he's from the area. Right. He grew up. So that story in and of itself is just a beautiful, it's a beautiful feel-good story. And unfortunately, it's probably going to come to an end this week or in 2 weeks, but it's okay.
Yeah, no, listen, it's a feel-good story. It's also like the city of Detroit itself is like, you know, it's been one of the highest crime rates for a long time here. Detroit has the reputation of having a lot of crime, a lot of homicide, and so on and so forth. So, you know, and the Lions have a reputation of, you know, there's two teams that have been around since the beginning of the Super Bowl era that have not made a Super Bowl. The Lions, and guess who the other one is?
Chargers.
Don't think too hard.
Oh, it's the Bengals. No,
the Bengals just did it 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it's such a stupid Browns.
Of course, the Cleveland Browns. And we all know the
– say Browns. I can see how tired I am. I'm sitting here being like, Bengals. So right, gotta... They went years ago. Yeah, I mean Browns.
Browns, I know. If you were more awake, you would have gotten that anyway. So, all right, man. But anyway, you got to go to sleep. So that's it. We'll have the Ravens, Niners. According to me, according to you, it'll be Ravens and Lions. It doesn't really matter as long as the Ravens get in there and win, right? It's really all we care about. But I'm very excited. I'm excited for both games. Here's my question, Mike. If the Ravens lose, will you watch the NFC Championship game?
I'll tell you like this. I'll say it like this, okay? It depends where I'm watching it and what I'm doing. If I'm on the couch and they lose and it's a heartbreaker, you know, I'm not leaving the couch. I'm just not.
Will you flip the channel? Will you flip the Fox?
But somebody else will.
Okay, I see.
You know, I'm not. I will. If I don't give me the remote, I'm hitting the power button. I would tell you like this for sure the second half. The second half of that game, I would watch. So if the Ravens, see, the thing is, if the Ravens win, right, there's almost going to be some sort of celebration in Baltimore. So I kind of want, and I can't go to the game. It's too expensive. So I really want to go downtown, though. I don't know if I want to go to a bar there. I don't know my situation. Maybe the thing is, we live so close to downtown that for me to, like, immediately after
that's
go.
That's true. It's like a 10-minute drive. All right.
Yeah, get in the car, go down there, park somewhere, and just kind of walk to the city. Like, there'll just be a bunch of people by City Hall and towards the stadium. I mean, there'll be people all over just celebrating the Ravens, you know? For sure, if they win the Super Bowl, I'm for sure going to have to figure that out. The whole thing, there's a lot of moving pieces. So that second game really relies on where I watch the game. Now, most likely I'll end up watching it with my family. By the house, so if they lose, I might just go home, go to sleep. Just be like, oh, I'm going home. I'm going to sleep.
So you're saying whether they win or not, you might not watch the game either, the second game either way. Because if they win, you might celebrate.
The second half, I could watch it on my phone. So the second half, I don't think I want to miss the second half, especially if it's a close game. I don't need to see the first half of the Lions 49ers. I'm not going to go celebrate because I want to see the first half. And if it's a blowout, I'm like, I didn't just go celebrate the Ravens making the Super Bowl.
Right.
We don't know. And the crazy thing about sports to me, and think about like the Orioles, for example. It's been so long. Even if you're good, the Orioles in the 1980s, you know, didn't think, well, we're never going to see this again. We just saw four of them or whatever. And then it didn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And you're like, oh, my gosh. The Jets. They went to Super Bowl III. And they have, and they're just like, you're like, are they ever going to actually get back there? Is it ever going to happen?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, no. Like I mentioned off the top, the Ravens went to 3 AFC Championship games in 5 years. And we're like, okay, we'll get a few more, right? We haven't been there since till now, 11 years. We haven't been there till now.
Exactly.
So you never know.
Another time. Next time the Ravens, we do know in 12 years, but
one Super Bowl every 12 years would put you at 6 at this point, 5.5, let's say, which would be tied for the most. Just saying. You got the Patriots and the Steelers of 6, the Niners of 5, and it's going to stay that way. After the Niners are going to have 5, the Lions will have 0, and the Chiefs will have 3, which will leave the Ravens with 3 as well. that'll be in a few weeks. We'll be saying it'll be pretty cool.
If we really count Baltimore football, if we're counting Baltimore football, okay?
The Colts. The
Baltimore Colts. We do have the most Super Bowls.
Technically 3, right? We have 3 at this point, right? Because the Baltimore Colts. Well, the Baltimore Colts have 1. Maybe the most championships.
Sure.
Anyway, point being that. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. If the Ravens make the Super Bowl, that in itself would be a celebration. You know why? Because like there's 2 weeks in between the championship game and the Super Bowl, so just making the Super Bowl itself, it's a big deal. Then you get to be in media week. Everyone gets to go to Vegas. You know, it's like it's especially this year with Vegas. It's like who's going to Vegas? It's like it's a good shtick. You know, added to the NFL.
Big Hawk.
Big Hawk, Big Hawk. All right, man. So I guess we'll stop there. Stop it there. And we'll let you all go. So championship weekend is coming up. This is it. Who is going to Vegas? Who is going let's to go. Vegas? The Ravens.
Ravens going to win a football game.
Okay, let's do it, baby. Oh, listen, I'm going to enjoy very much. As a football fan, this is exactly what I want. And I'm a football fan and a Ravens fan, but I'm also a football fan. So this is, I want to see a great matchup. I want the Ravens to win. I want the Ravens to win badly. But, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a great game just from a football perspective. It'd be awesome. So we'll see what happens, man.
But the Ravens win.
A great football game with the Ravens coming out on top. No, I wouldn't mind if it was a horrible game and the Chiefs just don't come to play. I wouldn't mind that.
That's also great.
That's also good, right. No, but it's a great matchup, and I'm very much looking forward to watching the game. And, yeah, so, you know, we'll let you go. We'll remember to subscribe, Spotify, YouTube, you know, click the bell. I've been reminding people. I need to put that little bell thing on the bottom. You know, they have a lot of the channels that subscribe, and then click. So, anyway, you put the – but you know how to do it. You don't even need to see it. You click the bell. You get alerts for podcasts like this. You know, right away when we release a podcast, you'll be the first one to be alerted at it. So with that being said, we're out.
We're out.